And welcome to Talking Shop with Teresa and Bree. I am so glad that you are here tonight. We have a very, very exciting show. Today it's Wednesday, April 10th, and we are calling in the middle of the night, and I am here in Milwaukee. It's been very, very cold and gloomy, but we've got a fantastic talk for you guys tonight. This telewrap is one that Bree and I have been getting pretty amped up about for a couple different reasons. One, it's a hot topic, and two, we've got a very, very hot guest tonight. So it's going to be a sizzling show. Our show is called Expose Yourself. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Teresa Reed, and I'm known as the Tarot Lady. You can find my website at www.thetarotlady.com. So anyhow, this is a big, big hot topic, in my opinion. We are going to be talking about visibility for your business. Now, I just want to say real quickly, this topic isn't just hot for metaphysical businesses. I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the idea of how visible should we be, how much should we be out there. But I have noticed, especially for people who do tend to be in more of a, shall we say, a woo-woo-oriented career, I think a lot of us, for various reasons, tend to shy away from any sort of marketing, any sort of exposure. In fact, I want to bring on my co-host, Bree, because, Bree, you have a great, great story to illustrate that. Hey, Bree, are you there?
I am here. I am totally here. Yes, I do have a really good story about this. So I am Bree Saucy, and you can find me at www.milagroroots.com. And yeah, you know, this is a very, very hot topic, and it's a really big deal how we talk about ourselves and how we let our light shine out into the world. And for me, this was really driven home about 4 years ago when a reporter from the Wall Street Journal contacted me and wanted to do an article on metaphysical businesses, and specifically businesses like mine that had an element of ritual work in them. And he interviewed me a couple of times, and I enjoyed the interview process a lot. He was taking a really good angle with the story. The story did publish in the Wall Street Journal, a couple months after we talked. But when it came down to it and he wanted to list me as a source, I did not agree. I was not at a place where I was ready to expose myself. My website wasn't in a place where I was really comfortable with just getting a ton of traffic generated by the story. And I also wasn't as clear on my mission and who I was serving and what I was doing. And so that for me was a real turning point in my business, because I realized, you know, this is the first instance of this happening, but it's going to keep happening, and it definitely has. And you know, I needed to make a decision. Was I going to remain in the shadows, kind of hidden, kind of not talking about what I did or talking about it in a really general way, or was I going to come out and really own it and be proud of it and be very clear in what I was doing, why I was doing it, and who I was serving. And so it was a really catalytic event, because it really got me to get serious about the business aspect of my work and, you know, how I wanted to share my light with the world. And, you know, we're so lucky tonight because Teresa and I have one of our most favorite people as a guest on the show tonight, Fabeku Fatunis. And I think that when I think of people shining their light and doing what they do with just impeccability and integrity and absolute authenticity, even though that word is like crazily overused, I automatically think of him, like each and every time. Don't you, Teresa?
Oh my God, yes. You know, there's a lot of people out there who give people, you know, the support that Fabeku does, but they don't do it in his way. You know, a lot of times when you see people who are doing things like coaching or business or helping creatives or anything like that, a lot of times they kind of stick to a in my opinion, a very kind of a standard personality. And the thing about Fabeku is he's got this crazy orange website. He wears bright red shoes. He listens to the Ramones and channels them. It's like, come on, who is this guy? You know, the first time you hear about him, it's like,
Ramones.
Yeah, yeah. So, Fabeku, we are so excited. Let's bring you on. Are you here, Fabeku?
I am here, and thank you for what a lovely intro. Wow.
Well, we are excited to have you here. And for people who are listening live or on the recording, if you want to find Fabeku, he's very easy to find. You go to his site. It's fabeku.com. Let me spell that for you, too. It's F-A-B-E-K-U, fabeku.com. So, Fabeku, thank you so much. We're so excited. And we've got a lot of really good questions for you. The one thing I wanted to say real quick, I think a lot of us can say it's very challenging to put ourselves out there, especially when you work again in an industry like Bree and I do, because, you know, it's a risk to work in a woo-woo job, and considering that our ancestors used to get burned at the stake, you know, it's not a wonder that we get the heebie-jeebies when it comes to marketing our businesses and attaching our faces to this sort of work. So my question to start this off for you, Fabeku, is how do we play a bigger game when we have so much stigma attached to, like, astrology and tarot and all that stuff? What do you say?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the first thing that I would say is that, so I'll start off by saying, I think the reason that this call is so important is because, fundamentally, the reason that I see businesses fail almost always comes back to marketing and all of the stuff that people have around it, right? Because a lot of people really struggle with marketing. It's a big thing. People get in their shit in 2 seconds about it. And there's just all kinds of stuff. I'll say the first thing is, you know, people are always, you know, buying marketing books and signing up for programs and, you know, trying to figure out what the secret is. It starts with, just on an energetic level, the willingness to be seen, right? Because, you know, you can concoct the best marketing blueprint ever. And if your energy is screwy and you don't actually want to be seen, none of it matters, right? Because there's this, like, conflicting signal thing that happens. People market, but there's this underlying energy of, holy shit, do I really want to be visible? So you're sending out these signals that at best cancel each other out, and at worst just do really weird shit in terms of the way it's received by your audience. So I think the first question to start with when it comes to marketing is, do I want to be seen? You know, and I think we have to answer that really honestly and not bullshit ourselves about it. And, you know, if there's stuff around that, then, you know, I think some of it we resolve by maybe changing our definition of what marketing means, dropping some of the stories around it, realizing that we can market stuff in a way that works and feels good and doesn't leave us feeling gross and still make money. But I think at the end of the day, it starts with a willingness to be seen. And if there's stuff around it, whether it's personal stuff or ancestral stuff that comes up because of, you know, all of the shit, whatever it is, you know, I think one of those – so I talk a lot about bigness, right? And, you know, for me, when I talk about bigness, I mean just the bigger, deeper, wiser part of who you are. Some people look at that as soul or spirit or higher self. I don't really give a shit. It doesn't matter to me. I don't really care the model that you use. But it's important to get that there's bigness inside of you, right? And that part of you is bigger and deeper than all of the crap that you have about marketing. And so, to me, mission critical step one is, do I want to be seen? And if I've got stuff around it, figure out how to plug into your bigness. Do whatever it is that plugs you into that rooted part of yourself so that you can move past the crap and transmit what you need to transmit in a way that's effective.
Yes. I am just like, I am your choir and you are my preacher. I think that's so important on so many levels. And, you know, that really, with my experience with the Wall Street Journal, and it's funny because I still have a relationship with a reporter, you know, that was the major thing, was really getting down to, was I ready to be seen? Was I ready to really go out and let myself be seen? And there was a lot of stuff, partly because of what you said, Teresa, of, you know, our business, especially, there's such a stigma attached to it, and it can be dangerous sometimes, you know, to expose yourself as a tarot reader, as an intuitive, as a ritualist. You know, it's in the past it hasn't always been safe. Thankfully, we're now in a time when it really is, and we've talked about this on the show before. But you know, we're coming in. I think we both feel like we're coming into a time where it's becoming really essential for those people to let themselves be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree totally with that, and I also think that the more you transmit what you do from that place of bigness, the less static and bullshit you get in response to the transmission, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a difference in frequency that happens when you transmit from your bigness. So different people hear it, and so people at a different frequency hear it, and they respond differently, you know, because really, I mean, if you look at what I do, there's a lot of not usual elements to what I do. I mean, I bang drums, I play with cymbals, I bring 20 plus years of shamanic history to the business work that I do. And so it's easy for somebody to look at it and say, that's batshit crazy, right? But, you know,
yeah.
The reality of it is I get almost none of that. I mean, virtually no weirdness and static and pushback from people. And I think part of that is a reflection of where we are collectively. Part of it is a reflection of just what's going on in the business community, and part of it is also a reflection of where I'm at within myself relative to my work and how I feel about it and how I transmit it into the world.
I love that. Love
yeah.
it. So, you know, Fabeku, what I really enjoy is that, you know, you're not afraid to, like, toss an F-bomb or to make a video dancing along to Lady Gaga with a boa on. And I just was like, wow, now that's awesome. I mean, it's obvious to me that you have no problem being you. So my question is, you know, some people don't like to admit their quirks, I think, and we're afraid that we're not going to be seen as professional. I'm using little quotation hand marks. So my question is, how much of yourself do you think people should be? So, you know, for example, do you think we should tone down our language? I actually got into a discussion with some fellow metaphysical peeps that think if you say the F word in your business, you don't sound professional and you sound rude and uneducated. So I want to know, how much of yourself should be? Can we say the F word? Should you, if that's the way you talk in real life, should you do it? What are your thoughts about you?
Yeah, so, you know, if you've spent more than about 3 seconds with me, chances are you've heard me say fuck about 100 times. I swear almost perpetually, and it's almost always the F word. I mean, that's kind of my default swear word. And, you know, I had people tell me, you know, when I was putting my stuff together and getting ready to put it out, they said, you know, you can't talk about the shamanism thing. You can't talk about the punk rock thing. You can't say fuck. You can't. I mean, it was this long list of things that I couldn't do. And it all came with the tag of, if you do this, no one will ever give you money. No one will ever take you seriously, blah, blah, blah. And I will tell you categorically that is all bullshit. Not one of those things has ever been the case. And
yeah.
I think here's what's important to understand, right? There are things that are part of who you are and the way you show up that are magnetic to the right people, right? There are things that people will see the transmission of that, and it will be an immediate hell yes for them, and it will pull them toward you like a magnet. Now, everybody really digs that idea, right? Hey, pulling people toward me, magnet, yay. But here's the flip side to that. There are also things that will be repulsive to the wrong people. So it's like there's a magnet that draws people in, and then there's ejection seats that when people see you do it, they will press the button and say, fuck no, and shoot out of your orbit as quickly as possible. So people love the magnets. They get a little squirrely about the ejection seat, but here's the thing. They're almost always the exact same thing. So you can't transmit the magnetic stuff and expect to draw those people in without also equally transmitting the signal that filters people out, right? There are people who look at what I do and say, you bang a drum as part of business consulting, fuck you. And there are people who look at it and say, this is the best shit I have ever seen. How do I give you money? It's the exact same thing. It's just an issue of right people versus wrong people. And when I'm talking about that, I don't mean right isn't good or bad. It just mean right in terms of fit. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, if you swear in real life, swear in your business. I mean, there's no reason to manufacture something that you don't do. But if you do it, there's no reason to turn the volume down because, you know, like one of the things, you know, I did this with you guys when you wrote me and asked if I wanted to do this. Now, every interview request I get, I say, sure, as long as you're okay with the fact that I will probably say fuck 100 times in the course of 60 minutes. If you're cool with that, I'm down to get on the phone, you know. Because I just, you know, I won't turn that down at this point. And are there people who don't like it? Absolutely. They're also not the right people for me. And so I'm not only at peace with filtering them out, I'm delighted to filter them out. Because in the process of filtering them out, they can find somebody that's a better fit for them, and I can spend my time doing work with people who are a hell yeah for who I am and what I do, and for me, that's critical, absolutely critical.
So I just want to accentuate something that you just said because I think it's so important, which is, you know, it sounded to me like part of what plugging into your bigness is really about is recognizing not just who the right people are, but also recognizing that there are going to be wrong people for you and being okay with that, you know, and not trying to be everything to everyone, right?
You have to. You absolutely have to. And I think it's important to realize the shit that people have around that, right? Because, you know, I think we all carry stuff around being accepted and rejected and all of that. And, you know, I've got a big story about being rejected and all of this shit. And so the idea of there being wrong people at some point was terrifying to me until I realized I can't transmit who I am and what I do to the right people if I also don't clear those people out. So, you know, if you get in your shit and try to figure out, you know, because like most marketing says, you know, how do you transmit your stuff in a way that appeals to the largest number of people? I think that's the biggest fucking mistake you can ever do in your marketing, ever, hands down. To me, that equates to beige, right? How do I turn my message into a beige wall that doesn't offend anybody? And the problem with that is in the process of not offending people, you're also not attracting anybody. So
you don't get noticed.
You have to make peace with the fact that there are people who are a great fit and not a great fit, and you have to be just as willing to filter those people out as you do to draw the right people in. And I'll tell you a really simple example of this. If you go look at most of the sales pages on my site, specifically I think the one that's up there for the Teletastics now, on all of the new sales pages I say, you'll love this if, and you'll hate this if. And I list 3 or 4 bullet points under each one because I want to make it really clear whether you are in the right place and this is the right thing for you.
Love that. Love that. It's like you're really being clear about who you are, what you stand for, you know, what your message is. And that is giving people right up front exactly what you're all about. It's like there's no smoke and mirrors, which you know, brings me to another point, Fabeku. I think a lot of people, you know, sometimes are afraid of putting their real selves out there, not just for rejection, but they're afraid, you know, of maybe being judged or of being maybe attacked online. So sometimes they use, like, stage names or fake photos, you know. What do you think about that? I mean, I understand that fear, but do you think using a stage name and putting, like, maybe a symbol instead of your picture is a wise idea? Do you think people go for that?
Well, I mean, I think just in terms of basic marketing, it's a bad idea. You know, I mean, it doesn't, you know, because most people, when they land on your site, when they land on your homepage, they scan your homepage for about 3 seconds, and then they look over to the right side of your page, and they're looking for a photo of you. It's just this kind of gut level thing that happens. And whether your photo is on the right side or not doesn't really matter so much. But if people can't find a photo of you fairly quickly, a lot of them will just fuck off and go watch cat videos on YouTube or something, right? Because, you know, the reason it matters is they, you know, not that I know anything about cat videos, but, you know, the reason it matters is that they're looking for some connection with you. And if you have a symbol or, you know, an illustration or whatever, you know, where's the connection? And the other thing that I'll say, beyond just the fact that I think just in terms of marketing it's a bad idea, if you have that level of stuff going on about transmitting, I promise you, you're transmitting that stuff through your marketing, and people are picking up on it energetically and intuitively, regardless of whether they get it cognitively. And that, frankly, is going to wonk things up way more than whether you have a picture there or not, because people intuitively get the energy behind your marketing. And if that's what's going on for you, I get it. And I would also say you really, really should find a way to resolve that, because I promise you it's transmitting in a way that's landing weird with people.
Mhm. Yeah. So, what do you? I think that just again totally right on. What do you when you talk to people, Fabeku, and or do you ever get this? Do you ever get like the whole, well, I'm shy. You know, like I want to do this. I really feel called to do this, but I'm shy. I'm not sure like how much I do want to be seen.
Yeah, okay, so I get that a lot. You know, I work with a lot of creative people, and I think there are a lot of introverted, sensitive folks in that crowd, and so I get that a lot. And the one thing that I will say, and I'm just going to give it to you straight talk because I think it's important to hear it this way, you will either have to resolve that or make a decision to go work for somebody else, because you cannot – hold back in the transmission of what you do and expect to build a successful business. It will not happen. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that you can't be an introvert. I'm not saying you have to be loud and over the top and charismatic. It's not about any of that. It's not about how loud or boisterously you show up. It's about your willingness to transmit and to do it in a clear and consistent way. It's not about the volume. But if you can't resolve that, and if you can't get to the place where you're willing to continue to transmit clearly and consistently, the reality is you will have a hell of a time building and sustaining a business that will actually sustain you in a full-time way.
Yeah.
That is so true. And, you know, I am an introvert, which people are a lot of times shocked to find out. I'm an absolute person who thrives on quiet. So for when I first started marketing, it was frightening to be out there because I thought, oh, my God, I'm introverted and I'm weird. I'm going to come out there and I'm going to come out there with my, you know, Rick Ross fascination, and people are going to think, what the heck is this chick on? You know, is there ever such a thing? By the way, I got over it for Baku, so thank God I did. But is there ever such a thing as being like, too far out, too freaky? How freaky is too freaky?
Yeah, you know, so I think that, you know, the best way that I think we can gauge that is, you know, because in this whole discussion about authenticity and transparency, which, you know, makes me just, you know, want to gouge my eyes out at this point because that's just become such a bullshit word. But I think somehow in that discussion, people have confused authenticity for nakedness. And I think they're two really different things. Right? Because also, despite the way I most people guess, I'm actually an introvert myself. I love private time. I love quiet time. I love people, and I need to not be around people a lot of the time as well. And I'm also a really private person by nature. And so for me, I had to figure out what are the boundaries between what I'm willing to show up and talk about publicly and what parts of my life just remain private, you know, out of necessity or need or whatever. And I think that, you know, being authentic doesn't mean standing there naked with every last facet of your life being transmitted to the internet. I mean, I don't get that. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's smart. I don't think it really serves anybody. And so, you know, I think the gauge for that is to be really clear on your why behind what you're transmitting and asking yourself, how does this serve the work? How does this serve the audience? How does this serve, you know, who I am and what I bring to the world, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes people can get into this kind of virtual exhibitionist thing that, I think it's a little weird. And I don't even think it's about how freaky or how far out people are getting. I think the energy behind it is weird because it feels like they have no boundaries. And suddenly every fucking facet of their life is being transmitted on Facebook or Twitter on their blog. And it just, it feels odd. I mean, you can feel the energy around it that there's no container. And I don't think that anybody benefits from stepping into a place that has no boundaries. I think that's a really bad, weird, energetically unhelpful thing.
So how do you find the balance
And it feels kind of like desperate to me sometimes, too. Like, you know, I'm yelling, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, in a way that, as a, you know, as a consumer, like if I'm looking to buy something or to have a relationship with this person, makes me feel like, you know, can I trust them? Like, I don't, you know, there's a trust issue around that for me when I'm on the receiving end of that, too.
Yeah, and I think that trust comes up because you sense that there are no walls, and not no walls in a helpful, transparent, get-to-know-me kind of way, but, like, there is nothing holding this together, and this whole thing could just fucking unravel at any moment, right?
I could end up being, like, the next story on their Facebook page.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, completely.
So how do you find the balance, then, between being seen but also keeping a boundary? How do you do it, Fabeku?
Yeah, you know, so I think for me, you know, I just had to run through the things that I was willing to talk about and not willing to talk about. And my basic position on it is, you know, if I'm willing to talk about it, I'll have a full-on, down-to-the-roots, totally exposed discussion about it. And if I'm not willing to talk about it, I won't have any discussion about it. Like I'm not suggesting that that's the way everybody go about it, but for me, it is a pretty black and white thing. You know, if I'll talk about it, I'll talk about it. And if I won't, I won't. And for me, you know, a lot of it was just based on, you know, what part of my life feels private and needs to be private. You know, like, for example, you know, I never really talk about my wife online. That's a personal, private thing for me. I don't discuss it. I don't answer questions about it. And the interesting thing is people get that there's an energetic boundary there, so people virtually never ask me questions about it. It just doesn't come up because I'm clear in myself that that's just kind of an off-topic kind of thing. You know, so I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, you have to figure out what you're willing to talk about, and you also have to be clear on how what you're talking about serves the work. You know, so as an example, you know, I just recently talked about, so I'm adopted, right? And so I had this whole story for years about being rejected and unwanted and not enough, and that had a very direct, tangible impact on my business and on my marketing and on my ability to make money and all of that. And for a long time, I really thought I will never discuss this publicly. It just felt too painful and too personal and all of that. And at some point, I realized that people with similar stories, not about being adopted, but about being rejected and not enough and all of that, how that was affecting their marketing and their business. So there was a clear why behind me discussing that in a very public way, because I wanted people to see that, you know, you can come from this place and you can carry this shit and it can be really painful and you can also get over it and transmit your shit and have a very successful business. So for me, the decision around that came because there was this straight line connection between discussing this thing that is at once very private and very personal, but also plugs into a more universal experience that I know a lot of people in my audience could really relate to and benefit from.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love it.
So let me ask you this, Fabeku. How can you show up and be yourself in, you know, and I'm going to use our metaphysical industry here, if you're living in, let's say, a small town or the Bible Belt, and they frown on, some places they frown on this type of work, they frown on anything that is different or freaky or out of the ordinary, how can you really show up and be you and bring this out there if you risk being ostracized where you live?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there are a couple of levels around this. And I think for me, it starts with the energy. You know, I think the cool thing is that I think this crowd will get this probably more than a lot of other crowds that I talk to about this, because the energy around your shit affects your shit. Like that, there's just, you know, clearly. And so I think the first thing we have to do, I think that there's a fine line between recognizing circumstances and feeding them and amping them up and pumping a lot of energy into them, right? So I think it's unwise to continue to reinforce the energy of, oh my God, what could happen if my neighbor finds out that I'm doing this? Like, I think that just on an energetic level, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not saying ignore reality, because that's stupid. Like, I'm the last person that would ever say ignore reality. But I think that we have to be careful not to feed energy into things that are not so helpful. And I think that every community has stories that it collectively holds and that it passes on to people in the community. And I think that we have to be clear about what we're doing with those stories, right? Because I think the more we feed energy into that, it's just probably not so helpful. So one, I think energy management is an important thing. Two, I think the other really cool thing, you know, given kind of the state of things and where we are, you know, and I've worked with a few clients that have very metaphysically oriented businesses who are just not really comfortable with the local scene. And I think the cool thing is now it's easier than ever to work with people all over the world. So I think, first of all, just realize that you actually don't have to work with your next door neighbor. And so theoretically, it's possible to have a really successful business that's not based on local clientele. And it's interesting. I mean, that sounds kind of obvious, but I'm always surprised how often people don't actually think about that, right? Like, it sounds like an obvious thing, but I don't know that it always is. So I think that, you know, look at other options, if that, because again, like, you have to be able to show up and transmit, right? So if there's conflicting signals about, you know, shit, I want to do this work, but I'm afraid other people are going to find out, you're going to spend all of your energy battling that. And if working with people in a non-local way frees up some of the angst and anxiety around it, then fuck, do it. Just do it. You know, because the amount of energy that it would take to build up non-local clientele is probably a lot less than it would take to sit and stew in your shit in circles forever about these conflicted energy. You know, so I think at some point it's like, you know, do what serves the work.
I love that. You know, I think I like how it all goes back to plugging into your bigness and plugging into your greatness. You know, my little boy goes to he goes to a day school 2 days a week, and it's run by my local Presbyterian church, and they're having a silent auction. And so they were like, well, can you donate anything? Like, do you have a service that you can donate? And I was like, well, I'm a tarot reader and an intuitive, so I was like, if you guys want me to donate a session, I'm happy to. And I was really interested to see what the response would be, and they were delighted. There's also, you know, and I think it's because, first of all, it's because I have a relationship with them, but it's also because my language and the way that I hold this, it's very ecumenical, it's very interfaith, interspiritual. So, you know, I'm like, as far as spiritual paths go, come one, come all. You know, there's no wrong or right way to approach this kind of work. So,
well,
And,
you know, what I would say to that, I had an experience years ago that I'll just share briefly because I think it's really relevant. And this goes back to the story thing, right? Because I think that when we get into these stories and we assume that we know how people are going to react, we either pull back in response or we get defensive. And a lot of times it really is just a story, because maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I had a really big story that what I do is weird and people are not going to get it, or only a certain tiny portion of people were going to get it. And number one, that showed up in my business in all kinds of ways. It was so unhelpful and so shitty that it, you know, it's not even worth getting into for the sake of time. But, and so I was having a conversation in an online forum, and there was a lady on the forum who said to me, listen, I come from a totally different background from you. I'm about as regular as it gets in terms of my spiritual practice. I don't think what you're doing is weird. Stop saying it's fucking weird, right? And what I realized was like, holy shit, this is my story. This does not reflect reality. This reflects my story. And it reflected the reality that I'd experienced until that time. But the mistake was trying to carry that forward in my work, because it just wasn't accurate. It just wasn't accurate. I had in my mind how everybody was going to react. And somebody who I was sure would never have gotten it said, I got it. Drop the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
She saw you as you were.
Yeah, and it was huge. I will tell you, that moment changed the course of my business. If I had not had that experience, the face of what I'm doing, I guarantee you, would look very different than what it does now. And the state of my business in terms of bottom line and all of that would be a very different reality than what I'm experiencing now, for sure.
Well, I'm glad you had that experience, because the way you do business is really, it's so awesome. It's so unique. I just have to commend you. You stand out in a sea of people who are doing what you're doing. You really stand out as offering something that's very unique, and it packs a punch. And I love
Thank
it.
You.
I think it's great.
Thank you.
That gives me another thought, though, Fabeku. You know, you're online, I'm online, Bree's online, and you've got this great presence online. I mean, I go to your site, it the colors, your words, your picture, all of it. It's like, yes, I love the way your site looks. I love everything about your site. I love the idea of the red shoes. I love the tiki Ted. I mean, everything here is really, it's very different. I know that some people get afraid of going online because, and being themselves out there, because they get afraid of dealing with, like, online trolls. And they're afraid of being attacked online or cyberbullying, even for business. What would you recommend for that people do to deal with that if they become, like, attacked? Like, maybe somebody goes to their blog and attacks them, or how do you think we can, A, get over that, and, B, deal with that should that become a situation that someone doesn't like what we're doing and they feel they got attacked?
Yeah, so I think a few things. One, again, it starts with the energy management piece. Plug into your bigness before you transmit anything that you do, and it will transmit in a different way, and it will land with a different crowd. That's step one. Two, I think that you should be prepared for, there will be people who do not like what you do. That doesn't mean they're going to bully you or show up and act like an asshole on your blog, but there will be people who don't like what you do. There might be people who actively don't like what you do. So I think that's a reality of transmitting who you are in a way that's magnetic. And that ultimately, just straight talk, you have to get over that. You just have to get over that. It's that simple. What I will say is, if people cross the line and act like assholes, I think it's really simple how to deal with it. First of all, if they show up on your blog, you delete their shit. It's really easy. Somebody would not walk into my living room and act like an asshole without being shown the door in about 3 seconds. So you don't get to come into my digital space and act like a dick, or I'm going to delete your stuff. It's really simple. And it's, again, I mean, this is obvious, but it's not about disagreeing with me. I'm totally down with different opinions. It's about being a dick. And I think, you know, we're all adults. We know what being a dick means. So, you know, you don't get to come on my site and act like a dick. It's really simple. And I also think, just in some ways, it goes back to the energy thing. I don't respond to crappy stuff from people. I just don't do it, because if you entertain it, you feed it, and it gets bigger, and then, you know, they get stoked because they've got energy. I just ignore it. I mean, I really, it sounds simple, but I think it is simple. You just don't feed the assholes. It really is that easy.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't engage in the discussion. And again, I think when we're clear about this stuff and ourselves, this stuff doesn't happen nearly as much as we think it will. I spent a long time thinking I was going to get decimated for transmitting who I am, and honestly, it's never happened. And I'm fully aware there are people who love what I do, and there are people who hate what I do. I'm not acting like everybody loves me. There are people who think I'm ridiculous, and that's completely okay with me. I just don't engage with those folks. I really am completely at peace with the fact that, you know, they don't dig what I do, and I don't make that my problem. You know, I don't get in and respond to it or roll around with it. It's pretty simple.
Brilliant. So we're getting near the – we've got a little bit of time left. I'd like to take on some callers and see if anybody has some questions, because I don't want to just hog you up here, Fabeku. I want to see if our listeners
– We could just talk to you all night long.
We could. So if anybody would like to ask Fabeku a question about visibility for your business, putting yourself out there – please hit *2 to raise your hand, *2, and we will bring you on, and you can ask your question. Okay, I have somebody calling in from Miami, Florida. Hello.
Hi, this is Zuri.
Hi, Zuri. Welcome.
Howdy.
Hi, guys. I had a question about visibility for social media, like how to better use that to, I guess, get your message out there and build a bigger platform.
Yeah, so, you know, social media has played a really big part in my business. And I think it's played a very direct role in its success. And I'll tell you, there was a couple of years ago, I made some kind of, I don't know, like top 50 people you should know or some bullshit list online. But anyway, the point was it was about something about my social media strategy. And I had to, I mean, I was flattered, but I had to laugh because I really have no social media strategy. I think what happens with social media, where it goes sideways for people, people pretend like social media is different than real life. And so they show up in ways that they would never show up in real life. And I think that that's the weirdest thing, right? People either they don't show up as who they are, they don't have conversations with people, or they feel like everything has to have a point or has to be markety, right? Like, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, every, you know, there should be a clear marketing reason behind every tweet. Well, who the fuck is going to do that? You know, who has time to do that? It's so weird. You know what I mean? I don't know. And I think the problem with that idea is that it leads people into very artificial transmissions through social media. The reason social media has worked so well for me is because I show up, I have conversations, and I'm the same online as I am offline. And I think that as simple and kind of like, duh, thanks for the advice, asshole, as that sounds, it really is kind of that simple. And I think most of the time, the reason that social media doesn't work for people is they're holding back, where they feel like they always have to be marketing something, or just show up, have conversations with people. You know, it's a really, and I think the interesting thing is people say, well, like, again, going back to the introvert thing, but I'm introverted. Listen, social media is your best fucking friend if you're an introvert, right? You can get on Twitter for 5 minutes and then go hide if you have to. Totally fine. That's way better than being stuck in a room networking with people for 4 hours and, you know, wanting to, like, poke your eyes out by the time you're done. So really, like, the best advice I can give you is don't treat it any different than real life. Show up in the same way as you would if you were sitting at a table having conversations with these people. And also, don't be afraid to talk about what you're doing. You know, and it doesn't have to be from this marketing thing. Like, it's not like, have I got a deal for you? I mean, because that's weird. But if, I mean, you're doing what you're doing because you're passionate about it. Let it show. Don't be afraid to gush about the work that you do. I love the shit out of what I do. And I'm not afraid to transmit that. I'm not afraid to transmit that. And I think that there's something about that that's magnetic to people. Because anytime you see somebody that's just in that kind of stoked, passionate, excited about what they're doing place, you know, you want to go to their site and see what it is. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of my rambling all over the place answer. But I hope there's something useful there.
And so true. I can testify to that because one of my favorite things about you, Sabeku, are your Facebook posts, like what's going on with your morning. You know, you give like your morning update, what you've been up to, and then you ask everybody else. That was one of the first encounters that I had with you online, and I was like, I love this guy. He's so awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
And I wanted to get into your world.
Thank you.
We also recommend, like, if you're taking classes or any kind of stuff, not necessarily always related to your work, to also kind of mention that. So you're not only promoting what you're doing, like, you know, outside of work, but you're also promoting other people. So you kind of bring it full circle.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I very actively promote other people's stuff that I dig. I think that that's because I think that it's such a cool way to support other people. And at the end of the day, if you're only tweeting about your shit or posting links to your shit, everybody's going to get tired of that. Everybody's going to get super tired of it. And I think that, you know, I think that that's one of the reasons why Twitter has gotten so weird over the last couple of years is some, you know, some social media experts told everybody basically just to get on Twitter and scream links out all fucking day. And, you know, suddenly it turned this useful tool for conversation into just a room full of people with megaphones screaming, buy my shit. So, you know, that's super annoying. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's great to give shout-outs to people whose work you dig, for sure.
Awesome. That's really helpful. Thank you so much.
Right on, yeah. Thanks for the question.
Great questions. We've got another hand in the air, and this is coming to us all the way from New York. There's no name, though, so New York, New York. Raise your hand and introduce yourself and lay your question on Sabeku.
I think that's me.
Hello?
I'm so Hi, I think that's me. Hi, I'm Kebby. I'm an artist who is trying to put together a website and a brand, I guess. And a brand would be, my brand would be myself, because I'm the one that paints all of my art. I'm the one that builds all of my art. I start my shit from the ground up. And I don't know if there's really a question for Fabeku, or I could just get some dust sprinkled on me, or, you know, a new wrap or something, or a little drum solo would even be fine.
Dust has officially been sprinkled. How about that?
I just need someone to tell me to pick my shit up, get started, and stop being scared.
Pick your shit up, get started, and stop being scared. Now.
So why do I have to do what you told me to do? And now it's an argument. How do I make myself believe what I have to make everyone else believe? Because if I don't believe it first, they're not going to believe it from me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this goes back to the bigness thing. Plug into that bigger part of who you are that fuels your work, because when you do, you get the value of what that is. It's easier to transmit it. And your bigness, you know, when you plug into that, it takes you out of your shit into the place that's clear and rooted and able to transmit your stuff. And frankly, if that means you have to stop what you're doing and plug in every 5 minutes, then that's what you have to do. It really is that simple, because the bigness is what's called you to your work, and the bigness is really the only place from which you can execute your work in the way that you want and in the way that it needs to be. So, yeah, I think step one is always plug into your bigness. Always, always, always.
Okay. Yeah, because I gotta start feeling awesome again, because my awesomeness sells me, which makes me paint, which gets my shit out there. And once the people meet me, they want something from me. So.
Yep, right on. Plug into your bigness. That's my prescription.
Awesome. Thanks, Rudy.
Right on.
Well, we're getting down now to the last couple minutes. So rather than take on any callers, Fabeku, you call yourself a business awesomizer, a suck exorcist, which I love, and a sonic alchemist. Could you just tell us what that means? So for people who are coming to your site, what does that mean if somebody asks you?
Yeah, so basically, you know, I hate the word coach and I hate the word consultant, and I don't really feel like either one of those accurately reflects what I do. So business awesomizer is just basically my own way of saying that, you know, I work with mostly creative entrepreneurial people to get their stuff out in the world in a way that works. And for me, that's way that works means feels good, reaches the right people, and makes a lot of money. You know, I mean, it's a pretty simple set of criteria. Suck exorcist, you know, ultimately it goes back to this bigness thing. I help people get really clear about their superpowers behind what they do, how they plug into their bigness, and then all of a sudden all the suck and the shit that they just spend their time spending in kind of goes away. And the sonic alchemist is just a nod to my background with shamanism and the role that sound plays and what I do and, you know, all of it. Yeah.
Awesome. So, Bree, do you have any other questions for Fabeku tonight?
Well, I do, actually. I know y'all are shocked. So we've talked about this phrase, plug into your bigness, and I think it would be awesome if we could get everybody who's on the phone, you know, one example, like concrete example of what that would look like. Because one of the things I love about you, Fabeku, is your background in shamanism, you know, as a ritualist. I'm like, yes, this is, you know, thank God, somebody who's combined business with shamanism, finally. I was waiting for it. And so, you know, like, give us a concrete example or two of what a technique might be that people can start practicing to help them do that. Because, you know, like, you have to get down into your stuff, but sometimes, you know, there needs, like, you just even have to open up the door to even go down there to start with, you know?
Right, right on. So, you know, so one of the things I talk about a lot is this idea of a superpower. And the really short definition of that is there's the thing that you do, right? The astrology, the tarot reading, the whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there's a bigger thing behind it it's actually what you really do. So there's the thing and there's the thing behind the thing. And when I talk about a superpower, to me it's this deeper energy, this deeper mojo behind your work, right? So my superpowers are freedom and flow. And so I think part of it starts with trying to figure out what it is that you're really transmitting to the world beyond the what of what you do. So what's the mojo behind your work, really? And the cool thing about that is once you get that, that's the bridge into your bigness. Because ultimately your superpower is not just what you do, but it's also who you are. And so once you understand what that is, and you know, even if you don't have it dialed in crystal clear, it's totally fine. But you know, brainstorm things that make you feel like a superhero, right? And you can play with that through the senses, like sight, touch, taste, whatever it is. So as a concrete example, for me, that's ultimately what my red shoe thing is about. When I put on red shoes, I feel like a fucking superhero. It's as simple as that. So putting on red shoes plugs me into my bigness. And then at some point I realized that you know, when I was playing around with the sense thing, that my superpower, it has the taste of red hot, you know, those little red hot candies. So I always have boxes
cinnamon,
of
totally.
Red
I
hot.
See that.
Yeah, right. So I always have those everywhere, and when I need to, I just pop one in my mouth. And here's the thing: these sound simple, and they are simple. But what these are bridges into your bigness. So when I say plug into your bigness, I mean find your version of red shoes and red hots and Ramones and boas and all that. I mean, because that's what all of this stuff is for me. These are things that plug me in to my superpower, into that bigger, deeper place. And it's really important. The reason I'm focusing on things is because these need to be actionable. These need to be things that you know what to do with. You look at shoes, you know what to do. You put them the fuck on. That's what you do with shoes, right? So when you think about these things, brainstorm concrete things that you can use to plug into your bigness. And then do it, like saturate yourself in these pieces, because it really will, they become these bridges that'll just plug you into that deeper mojo that's pretty amazing. So if it sounds simple, it is, and it should be.
I like that. Yeah.
I love that, Bree. That was a fabulous question and a great question to end this on tonight. So in closing, you know, this has again been such an enlightening conversation. And Fabeku, I love everything that you've shared with our audience tonight. And also for staying up late with us. This has been like a little slumber party of Fabeku.
You're so awesome.
So, Fabeku, where can people find you again if they want to work with you, which I think you would be great for helping metaphysical people kick it up a notch. Where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me at Fabeku.com. Theoretically, I have a Twitter account. I'm never on Twitter, so don't bother. I have a personal Facebook page. I don't have a business page, but you're totally welcome to send me a friend request. I won't bite, I promise.
Excellent. And your website is www.fabeku.com. Let me spell that again for you guys. F-A-B-E-K-U, fabeku.com. Fabeku, thank you. This has been beyond trill, and you are, like, just amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Absolutely.
And Bree, we got to remind people that we have a show next month. You want to tell people what our show is going to be about next month?
Yes, I think that we are going to be rocking it on May 22nd, and we have a very special guest. We have Cher Ross, and our theme is Video Built the Metaphysical Star. We are going to be talking about the nuts and bolts of how video can transform you from nobody to superstar, which I am super excited about because I am just dipping my toe into video.
I am too, and I'm scared to death of it. But Cher's the person for it. And for people who don't know Cher, she's a rock star. She's the bassist from Vixen, and Vixen was one of those groups when I was young. Female, you know, rock group. Of course, we idolize them, so this is going to be great. So,
if you're seeing like a rock and roll, punk rock kind of theme through our shows, that's because there is one.
Well, yeah, we're bringing. we got Fabeku tonight. We got Cher coming on. I mean, this is feeling like we're getting a little bit rock. I need to get some rappers on here too. So we
do.
Looking into that. So again, Fabeku, thank you, and for you, everyone for listening tonight, whether you're live or listening to this recording later, thank you guys. I hope this information really gives you guys the cosmic kick in the pants to get your businesses up to the next level so that you can be really living your life and your business dream the way you want and deserve. You can find me, Teresa Reed, at thetarotlady.com. And Bree, where can people find you?
I'm at milagroroots.com. And let us know how y'all are plugging into your bigness. We want to know. I like ritual. So tell me about it.
All right, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Night, guys.
Night, night, Fabeku. Night, night, Bree.
Night, Teresa. Thank you, Fabeku.